Who the f*** do you work for? Us! I stand in your f***ing flashlight. We pay you guys. We stand for you. And you f***ing shoot at us?
Yes, this is
about time. Unreal. The blue. You guys are just as bad as those f***ing commies. Unbelievable.
Now, I know that the left wing doesn't like the police, but watching the right wing even revolt against law enforcement, well, I've got to call out to none other than God for some help. Let us pray. Dear God, it's me again, your wee little son, Elijah, 6'2", but of course, small in the heart. I'm grateful for this opportunity, I really am. I'm traveling to a new country, and that's always a bit uncomfortable for me. I mean, I remember when Washington, D.C. was just like the rest of the United States. You could travel outside without a micro mouth hijab, walk down the street in a red hat without violently being assaulted by our friends, the communists and the anarchists, enjoy a hot meal inside a local eatery like a civilized human being. Wouldn't want that. And most importantly, we weren't accosted by police officers who were hired to protect and serve us. Well, I'll tell you this. They're now serving corrupt politicians, domestic terrorists, while also intentionally persecuting patriots who just want to live free and unhindered lives. One day, Lord, I hope cities like this return back to the Constitution and treat us all equally like we deserve. But for now, I realize that I'm an alien in my own country, treated like an invader, a violent criminal without any evidence. Please don't let 21 be like 2020. I want my country back. Amen. A woman, a bigender, a transgender, a non-gender, and a all other mental illnesses that we have acknowledged in the last decade. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, that's just a prayer and not reality. Welcome to 2021. It's looking worse than 2020 already, a complete show. We are barely a week into things and things are pretty crazy. This actually might be our stupidest year yet, but we aren't surprised. Come on. Common sense is under attack, science is under siege, and the truth is censored from the conversation. Is this the dark winter that Biden is referring to? I don't know. But with the Proud Boys being arrested while Antifa roams free, the military being withheld from stopping left-wing violence while then being deployed in excess to handle peaceful Trump supporters, all while big tech is crushing every iota of free thought, not to mention our good friends in the media crashing down on anyone who dissents. Right now, as you're watching this, my team is on the ground breaking news at the January 6th events in Washington, D.C. on Twitter and Instagram. Please follow us there and also subscribe right now on our YouTube by hitting that button below. You guys, it's insane how censorship has gotten and in the way that it's giving people like you no chance to see our videos. So please always check here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 2 p.m. Central for new episodes. And there is nobody else that I'd rather expose this insanity with than the famous, or should I say infamous, or infamous, Bryson Gray, he's not white. He's a rapper, creator, commentator, and all-around toxically masculine patriot. Welcome to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with people's 12th favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer. I've been wanting to have you on. Thank you so much, man.
I am glad to be here.
Dude, I'm glad you're here too. When we walked in, to put into perspective, you guys were told by security, by the way, as individuals who were coming in, you could not come in without a mask. I mean, this is a whole new world here. They are so strict about things.
Yeah, it is actually crazy because it's almost everywhere you go in places like D.C., like they don't even let you walk 3 feet without a mask on. But meanwhile, you can pack a plane that we can make these airlines that bad. You know what I'm saying? Shoulder to shoulder, nobody's social distancing. Social distancing, per the science, is more effective, but nobody cares about that. So here we are.
Here we are. And we're back in Washington, D.C. We're faking the audience like we're professional people because we're in a newsroom. But everybody knows the reality of what's going on here. I mean, but life is a joke today. What even does it mean to be professional? I mean, you've seen out there, to put into perspective, right? These Washington 6 events are going down. We're in the most insane, I'd say, moment in recent history where over 75 million Americans are pissed off believing that their election was stolen from them. And on the other hand, we're being told to believe that a president who lost the most amount of counties of any elected president in modern history somehow got over like 10 million votes than any sitting president or reelected president ever received, all while just projecting from his basement. I mean, the madness that we're under right now. I mean, is it pissing you off? How do you feel about this?
It's halfway pissing me off, but it's sort of a good thing for the conservative movement and for the GOP, period, because now we're finally able to see where people really stand. We thought it was only Mitt Romney or only George Bush, but now we're finding out that nobody, like most Republicans, are not really standing with Trump. So it's like really patriots versus everybody, per my song title. And that's how I'm feeling. I feel like it's patriots versus everybody. The GOP obviously doesn't care about us. They care about retaining power. And the left obviously don't care about us at all. We're back at deplorables to them. So it's really just us versus everybody. And they work for us.
No, right. And I feel like maybe you'd agree with me on this. We are in a war right now. We are actually in a civil war. I tell people it's kind of like a cold civil war like we were at with Russia, where the fights are happening in proxies like around the country. But the battles are very real. And the persecution, especially against people who consider themselves to be conservatives, even though some people have heard this before, is not only at an all-time high. What we're seeing here today in Washington, D.C. is the mayor has openly come out against all right-wingers and said that she will make sure her city is as inhospitable to all people supporting Trump as possible, calling in the National Guard, arresting people who she considers to be her political enemies. And we're going to get all into that, including also talking a lot about what's happening with Bryson and his rap career, as well as his views on conservatism, which are really interesting. But first, I want to give a huge shout out to an incredible new sponsor we have on our show. You know, I think wine is best, consumed in moderation. It's best consumed, especially at nice events or great dinners. And a lot of you guys are probably locked down at home and you're unable to go out to a nice restaurant. So why not bring that nice restaurant to you? There's this incredible company called Bonner Private Wines. And they offer some of the best red wines in America through a subscription service. Now, I'll tell you this. Their wines are extremely healthy for you compared to other wines, including the fact that some of them have 90% less sugar, which is important for someone like me who's trying to stay healthy. They also make these at remote vineyards that are at 9,000 feet. These vineyards are miles from civilization, some of the cleanest soil and air. And as a result, this red wine, when you stare into the glass, it's seriously like looking into your soul, which of course, hopefully is deep red and washed with the blood of God. But like I said, they also have more longevity with resveratrol, and also they have no dyes or flavor additives. Now, I want to be completely honest with you. This is kind of a side note. You can also find their wine entirely at a website I'm going to mention. But I was at Tim Pool's house. You know Tim Pool is?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was at Tim Pool's house. I brought this bottle of wine. This is not even part of the ad. I just wanted to bring it here to bring onto the place. People were there, his assistant, his producer, and they basically were like, they wanted something to drink. So I provided them a bottle of wine that I brought. Turned out this is one of the best wines they've ever had. Lydia, his producer, doesn't drink wine. She doesn't like wine, but she ended up thinking that you should end up drinking this wine. She enjoyed it. And so, guys, I want to let you right now, you can get all of their wines right now at unfilteredwine2021.com. That's unfilteredwine21.com to get 50% off their shipping today. Anyways, please check it out to get the best Malbec from the third highest vineyard in the world. Anyway, let's jump into the story for today. So obviously things are going on right now. Things are happening around the country. Did you see the story? The National Guard was deployed to DC as the Capitol braces for a repeat of violence. This is from Newsweek. Let's talk about this. So, fearing a repeat of previous violence, officials have confirmed that the National Guard will be deploying hundreds of troops to the nation's capital this week as tens of thousands of Donald Trump supporters and far-right nationalists protest the congressional certification of Joe Biden's election victory. Trump himself is one of those who have been promoting the wild protests. Notice the word, it's always wild, scheduled to take place today, prompting concerns that extremists such as Proud Boys, will descend on the city and engage in physical violence and destruction in support of the president's widely dismissed cries of widespread voter fraud. Let's pack this down. Okay, so they're saying that these events are wild. Trump supporters are out of control. Is that accurate?
No, it isn't accurate. A Trump rally is probably one of the safest places you can be. Now, at nighttime, it gets a little rowdy, but that's because Antifa is out looking for Trump supporters to harass. And good thing that Proud Boys are there to fight back because a lot of the police officers just let us be. They literally like block off places and basically have us in like a box at nighttime. You was there last time. And no cars will come on the street. You can't leave really with the car. So we're just all there in that box and Antifa is out stabbing people because when they try to fight Proud Boys, they get beat up. So they have to start stabbing people. So You know, it gets wild then.
That's why they say wild. Exactly. So when they say wild, I like that term. It's kind of like saying like, oh yeah, like this situation was freaky. There's a guy and a girl in a room. You're like, there's a freaky situation going on. And you're going, no, no, no. That guy's being creepy, stalking and hitting on the girl. That doesn't mean that they're both freaky people or it's a freaky situation. It's that that guy is just freaky. Why can't you just call out the enemy for what it is? These Trump events, people don't understand, are not instigated violently by the right-wingers. It's almost always intentional. You've been to the last two marches here. I mean, what has your experience been from the morning to night? I mean, do you see the violence in the morning? You said it happens at night. How does this all break down?
In the morning, during the actual marches, you don't really see much because, I mean, it'd be literally dumb for an Antifa member, a BLM member, to come to a place where tens of thousands of Trump supporters are at trying to start drama. So they try it at night where the group get, you know what I'm saying, smaller and they groups get bigger and they walk around with all black and screaming out stuff. It's very weird. It's almost like a movie, which is more proof that we are actually at war. The war is good versus evil, but the battles within the war that we're seeing are actually very detrimental to the country. But nonetheless, we are at war, so...
Yeah, and here's what I want to bring up. So she's sending in hundreds of troops of National Guards. A lot of people know this. They're all around the city right now. There's a couple things wrong with this, I think. Number one, the National Guard is being ordered not to carry firearms, not to arrest people, but they are being used to block off bridges, off roads, which are preventing a ton of people from getting in. And I feel like that's an interesting thing, is that why is the city blocking off people from coming in to gather for an event to support a sitting president of the United States? It almost feels like it's like using our army. I get that feeling sort of to let people know that like if you're here to support the president, you're not welcome, not only in this city, but like our nation's capital. And it makes me feel like the persecution of conservatives has gone beyond just like, you know, censoring and big tech to literally saying, we're going to use the military to show you that you guys are not welcomed here.
This has always been on the horizon though. Everybody knows we have always, people have talked about it for years, and now we're just seeing. They're using our own army against us. But that's how it goes when certain people are in power. So the question for me is, what are we going to do about it? Because they're doing it. I think the difference between the left and the right is the right complain, but don't take action. The left complain and take action. And even though it's action that we don't like, that I think is disgusting, but they're actually doing something to get their point across. The one thing I do like is regardless of everything they have done to try to deter Trump supporters from coming, tens of thousands of people are still here, period, point blank. And I like that we're trying to send a message, but we have to do a little bit more.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And I think, you know, if you remember this, I don't think we've seen National Guard at the last two events that were here. They were successful events. But if you remember, the interesting thing about the mayor, Muriel Bowser, who shares the same last name as a fictitious turtle lord from Mario, is that not only is, I don't believe, like I always find that a lot of things that are female-led, like including departments at universities and cities are often led without direction. We see this in Chicago, in DC. It's not that men don't do any differently, especially with like the mayor of LA, but I feel like God created men to be leaders. I think naturally, even if you don't believe in God, we have a lot of non-God believing viewers. I think that some of the, you know, you could say developed characteristics of men are their fact to remain calm under chaos. But of course, I believe it was like the UN just released something saying, oh, studies show now that women are the best leaders under crises.
For sure.
You know, what do you think about that?
For sure.
I don't know. I'm just wondering, you
for
know?
Sure, yeah, for sure. Just ignore nature. I mean, let's be honest. If you've ever had a girlfriend, come on now. You know women are more emotional than men. That's just what it is. Now, of course, there are anomalies, like in everything. Like, I think Candace Owens would be a good leader. And matter of fact, Kaylee McEnany, yeah. I think I pronounced that wrong.
I don't know how to say her name.
But she could be a leader. But those are just anomalies. Just generally speaking, women are more emotional than men. That's just the truth. But of course, that is sexist. And all types of other words they use now, and I'm a chauvinist or whatever you want to say.
Sexism isn't good, though. Sexism is just defining the difference that certain sexes have certain traits that are more dominant than the other.
It's just the truth. It's simply the truth. Women are great at nurturing and a bunch of other things. Women are usually more organized than men, more clean than men. These are all great things because I'm not organized at all, which is why God, because I believe in God, God created woman as an helper for men. A lot of people are not gonna like me saying that, but it's the truth.
Hey, it's okay though, but that's my point though, is I'm saying, to me, this is why I bring this up is not to just be sexist. It's saying, I think this is just being an emotional mm-hmm. response. And we see this as a problem in the Democrat Party, is this move to govern on emotions. Because if everyone remembers last summer, when there was actual riots taking place in front of Lafayette Park in front of D.C., and Trump, you know, wanted National Guard to be deployed while there was Secret Service being present. I remember the mayor said, like, while they were actually burning down St. John's Church, one of the original churches in America, I actually went to communion there when I was younger with President Bush, of all globalists.
of all globalists.
But meaning, when there was an actual violent threat and an attack, she said, we will not put the National Guard on our streets. We are not going to militarize the citizens' streets of our city. So when there was an actual threat from left-wing violence, she chose not to put the National Guard out. But now that there's not any violence, preemptively, she is treating conservatives like they are a powder keg for violence, even though there's no evidence that these rallies have led to anything catastrophic. And to me, that is not only an emotional leadership decision, but to me, that's a sign and a symbol that the Democrats are starting to view us as not being people that are under, like, or are equal to them. We are outsiders, we are foreigners, and that we need a military occupation to monitor and to watch us. And I wouldn't think that if they also did that for when large left-wing groups gathered, but the fact that it's selective policing makes me think that they have ulterior motives.
It's actually been like that. My mother has a friend who's a big Obama supporter, and she called my mama upset because somebody said something negative to her about her Obama hat. And my mother said, oh, I understand, because my son goes to this all the time. Do you know what her friend said? That's different, because he supports Trump. So the attack is, they don't look at us as people deserving of respect. And that's from the government. I mean, Hillary Clinton called us a basket of deplorables. Joe Biden called us names also. I mean, they don't feel like we are deserving of respect as people. It's been like this, though, which is why you can beat up a Trump supporter and you will get praise. But if I slap somebody for being a Bernie supporter or a Biden supporter, I'm a demon at that point. You know what I'm saying? So once again, my question, like I said last time, we've been knew these things was going on, and now it's getting worse. Now more people are waking up to seeing them. But my question is, what are we going to do about it? That's always my question.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. I think that this is important to realize that I'm not just making this up. There's a Washington Post article that really alarms me, genuinely. It says, we must stop calling Trump enablers conservative. They are the radical right. This author, Margaret Sullivan, who's a media columnist and probably lives a depressing life, just wrote, you hear the word radical a lot these days. It's usually aimed like a lethal weapon at Democratic office seekers, especially those who want to unseat a Republican incumbent. Senator Kelly Loeffler, the Georgia Republican, rarely utters her challenger's name without branding him as a radical liberal Raphael Warnock. Such is the upside-down world we've come to inhabit. These days, the true radicals are the enablers of President Trump's ongoing attempted coup, calling it a coup. The media on Fox News, One America, Newsmax, who parrot his lies about election fraud, and the members of Congress who plan to object on Wednesday to what should be a pro forma step of approving the Electoral College results so that President-elect Joe Biden can take office peacefully on January 20th. Lastly, instead of being called what they are, these media and political figures get a mild label as conservative. So meaning, this is the dehumanizing language that we're starting to see, is not only do we get in the real world this treatment, but the media is laying a groundwork, Bryce, and it freaks me out because, not like I'm not scared, but it freaks me out because I know where this leads, right? It's not like I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready for this. I'm going, we've seen this happen before where you start calling the other side like rats and they're extremists, they're rebels. They're not just extreme, they're extremists. They're not even a political party. They're not even an ideology. There's something subhuman. And that's the way that, you know, when you go into DC, maybe this is an extreme version, you feel it. But I mean, am I the only one who feels that tension, like we are being ostracized and pressed like a powder keg, trying to be pushed till we explode? Because I'm feeling at that level right now.
Well, I mean, that's actually simply what it is. Think about it like this. There's no such thing as a hit list that conservatives created for, you know what I'm saying, the left. But Antifa has a hit list, and you're on it. Congratulations.
Feel proud.
You should.
The badge of honor.
Yes, a badge of honor. I'm on it. Tina's on it. Forgiato Blow is on it. Craig Long's on it. A bunch of PBs are on it. And they actually have a hit list, and nobody cares. You haven't heard the mayor bring that up or anything. No, nobody cares. Nobody cares. But we're evil, so we get jumped or we get beat up or they try to make that hit list and try to really get us hit. In reality, nobody cares. Because like you said, we are not deserving of respect. That's how they feel. The media tells it to people, people believe what the media states, and then you can do whatever you want to us. We're white supremacists. We're all you know, Hitler's supporters. Like, this is how they feel, genuinely. You've seen the videos of people walking around with pictures, who's worse, between Trump, Hitler, Stalin. They literally say Trump. This is real life. This isn't a joke. So, you know.
Can I ask you this? Speaking of that, because, like, as a black dude, you know, I think that we live in a very backwards world. And you saw that Enrique Tarrio, I guess, I don't know if he's like an elected leader, but the unofficial leader of the Proud Boys to some regard, was arrested while coming into the city because he claimed that he burned some sort of a flag or a sign that was, you know, belonging or emblemizing Black Lives Matter. And my question for you is, when you see that he, an Afro-Hispanic, it says in the article, is arrested like a terrorist while entering the city for simply burning a sign, while other people, white people specifically, have been running amok through the city, burning down American flags, Trump posters, tagging on buildings, breaking windows, and they get let off the hook. I mean, what does that tell you as a black conservative guy in this city, specifically in this country? What does it tell you about your future and the way that you expect to be treated?
First off, free Enrique on the gang. You already know the vibes. But on the other hand, you just said it. They can burn American flags. And not only can they burn American flags and nobody attacks them over it, oh no, everybody encourages it and says it's their freedom of expression. But so you can burn the flag representing the country that you're living in, but somebody can't burn a flag that says BLM on it.
What about the gay flag too? You saw that, the LGBT flag, you can get a hate crime. And that's what they're trying to push Enrique against, is a hate crime, saying if you burn the BLM flag, if you burn the rainbow flag, you can actually go to jail for a hate crime.
You can go to jail for burning?
Yes.
But I wonder, will they go to jail for burning the Bible?
No.
Oh, interesting. Oh, well, here we go, 2021, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome soon. We'll have hate speech laws and get fined. Then parts of the Bible will become illegal. Then they'll have to redo the Bible. And then actual Christians will be locked up. And I'm just waiting to take my mugshot so I can make sure I'm prepared for it and my face is not messed up.
Haven't you gotten banned or had things censored just because you quoted Bible verses?
Oh, yeah. On TikTok, they banned 5 of my videos, all talk about Bible verses. And the most popular one they banned was my song called God Soldier. I posted a clip of the music video on TikTok. It ended up with 150,000 views, over 40,000 likes, and they banned it for hate speech. And literally, if you listen to the song God Soldier, I am literally quoting the Bible. And they banned it like this. I tried to appeal. They said, no, you went against the guidelines. But what I do know is these progressive Christians can call Jesus queer, can call Jesus gay. And that's perfectly fine.
You know, an interesting thing is what I always find weird is when I have Christian people on the show, right? There's always like an interesting atheist block of the viewers that are like, why is this guy talking about God? You lost me at the God stuff. But then I brought on a gay black guy who's like an atheist and nobody says the same thing. Like, why are you bringing up this anti-God stuff? It's like, I always find it's like the Christians don't have a problem with the atheists bringing up their anti-God stuff on a show. But a lot of people get real sensitive about Christians bringing up Christian stuff on shows today, which I think is kind of a weird thing because in this country, I feel like we need more of God, not less of God. And I like my friend Sydney, who's an agnostic, and she says, you know, I like having Christian friends because at least you know the moral standards to which they hold themselves to, and you can hold them to moral standards because at least they have a book that tells you, like, how your friends are supposed to be acting.
Well, a lot of people, atheism is the fastest growing religion, they say. And if you want to be atheist, do that. But the problem is you can blatantly see the less godly this country has become, the worse the country has become, the more friction, the more attacks, the more everything ungodly. And even if you don't believe in God or the Bible, you have to believe in nature because you can see nature happens. And even just something simple as the family unit, even Obama knew, if you don't grow up in a two-parent household, you're more likely to go to jail, more likely to join the gang, more likely to do these things. This is the truth. This is the truth. So even if you don't believe in God and the Bible, you have to believe in nature and common sense. And when I'm about to say something that people are mad at, but back when men were doing the providing and less women were searching for careers, it was less gangbanging, it was less all of this stuff, to be honest with you, when men were leading. And you can't blame the women for that because men are don't even want to lead no more. Men are becoming the women now, a bunch of punks and wussies wearing dresses and makeup and nails with wigs on, about 6'4". Some of them need to go pick up a basketball, but
Harry Styles. Right, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles, like...
He's dating Olivia Wilde now, who I'm not really sure that is. Some of you probably know. But, like, he's not a homosexual, but he's, like, dating a woman. But it's like, what woman wants a man who wears dresses? I don't even know. Even if you were gay, I never understood the whole cross-dressing thing. Maybe someone can correct me on here if you do that, and you can let me know in the comments, because I would think, like, if you like men, whether you're gay or you're straight, you probably want a man that looks like a man. Mm-hmm. And so when our culture starts getting where men start looking like women and women start looking like men, it makes me really confused.
Well, it should confuse you because it's illogical and doesn't make any sense. Even when it comes to, women that like women, if you see one of them looks like a guy, and when they do disgusting things, they use something that could resemble a male body part. And that really doesn't make sense. Just logically speaking, it doesn't make sense. So... men wearing dresses and all, this world is crazy. Do you not see we're living inside of Gomorrah? If nobody can see that, like, come on. I can't even say, I saw somebody on Twitter the other day said he yelled at his kid because he let a woman outdo him because he wanted to raise his son up to be a man. To me, I said, that's a good father. Twitter bashed him and said, your son is going to grow up and be a white supremacist and hate women and be a sexist and things like that. I'm like, for teaching him how to be a man? I don't know, bro. I don't know.
It's the double standard. And guys, this is what I want to say. Like, when we're talking about this persecution, nothing really embodies this more than this tweet, which I believe, I don't know if we have it on the screen, but, you know, people are always framing as good as evil and evil as good. And, you know, I know that the narrative that's coming out from today is going to be that right-wing people started violence, but I wanted to keep for a record this tweet from Shutdown DC, which is a terrorist group and a riot instigator that actually called out the Proud Boys and called them to a fight and said that we want to fight you. And then I actually screenshotted it and put it below the tweet saying in case they delete it. See, I said popular Washington protests and riot instigators shut down DC have challenged Proud Boys to a fight, just cataloging this for when the media says Proud Boys beat up left-wing protesters unprovoked. Never sanctioning the street violence, of course, but I want to keep this for our purposes. And they said that, right? Proud Boys, if you want to fight us, bring it on, while they doxed politicians' houses. Both things that were illegal. Their account is, of course, still up. Twitter let them up. But my point being is that we're in a point where, you know, the Proud Boys, I believe, are demonized because they're chauvinist, because they're masculine men, because they are beating up these wussy people in the streets that are promoting communism and terrorism. I would say that, you know, while I don't sanction violence unprovoked, I would say this is provoked violence. And I would say if someone's challenging you to a fight, part of being a man, you could walk away, but in many cases with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you don't have a chance to walk away because they'll get you when you're, they'll sucker punch you in the back of the head. So we need to be raising men like that. And that's why, guys, I want to tell you guys something very important. I've teamed up with an incredible group called the Personal Defense Network. Now, as you can see, 2020 has brought unforeseen upheaval to our society. Many now realize that law enforcement may not always be there. That's true. And that above all else, the ability to defend yourself and your family has never been more important. That's why I want to let you know that the Personal Defense Network is sponsoring this podcast. Guys, if you're not familiar with the Personal Defense Network, they offer the world's largest collection of high-quality educational self-defense material on the internet. From firearms to self-defense to home defense training, this network will assist you. I've done my homework. You've seen me in the streets. Please go to myrightsmyhome.com/offensive. That's myrightsmyhome.com/offensive. Link in the description. And the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. Because you're my loyal follower, though, this is great. Their premium membership to get everything that you need to be a real man or as a woman, defend yourself too. Because believe me, not real men aren't around a lot today. That's the key thing. So please, for just $3, this is insane, $3 for the first full year. That's right, for just $3, which is normally $69 Very interesting number there. You will get access to hundreds of videos and classes. These classes will make you feel like you're right there with the trainer. Anyway, go to myrightsmyhome.com/offensive and get that deal before it's too late. And train yourself, men. Please take the initiative. I'm going to combat training myself, so I'm learning. I'm from LA, bro. I'm wearing skinny pants. Like I don't know how to do this stuff, you know, but I'm learning, right? I watch transgenders like beat each other up with their purses in the street one time. That's right. That's where I come from. But let's jump into this. So I want to get into you a little bit as we're talking about some of your views. You're a rapper. First of all, why the hell would you choose that as your career? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, I've been rapping since I've been even knowing myself to be alive. So ever since I've been actually conscious of what's going on, I've been rapping. And I used to make degenerate music, the same music I'm fighting against now. But I used to post about politics because they used to play my music on the radio where I'm from. Very consistently. I was on 106 in Park when I was 16, twice. Wow. Had many songs on the radio. We traveled and done shows. I made EDM music, and my EDM music ended up getting like 10 million streams overall. So I've always done music. I always made money off music also. But I used to post my political beliefs on my social media, mainly Facebook. And I used to be super controversial on Facebook, talk about Trump or whatever. And the radio station was getting upset with it. Where it was going around, it was gonna stop playing my music, period. Not even let me submit anything. And I remember my mother called me and said, you can't be a political pundit and a political commentator and a rap artist. You have to choose one. Then I said, no, I can do both. Then I made Black Not Democrat. And that's what literally started.
It's a song?
My song, my first song I released was Black Not Democrat, R.P. Kingface. But people like Kingface, Mikael Crump, Osega, people like that, they supported the song when I had less than 2,000 followers on Twitter. And the song ended up getting like 50,000 views. This is before I even went viral, because I went viral with a big hat that I used to wear. But that song was actually picking up steam already. And I made that song literally. Everything in my life that I do is simply a lot of times because somebody tells me I can't do something. And I always have to just prove the point that I can do anything. So.
I like it. Do we have? I think for those of you guys that are not familiar with his music, you have a song called "False Teachers," which is obviously a weird lyric. I don't see anything about women's butts, mm-hmm. anything about money in the title. Can we cue that up?
And it's coming back soon, so just wait for it. Better hope he have mercy, better pray for it. John 3:36, what you say, Lord? Whoever don't obey the Son, get a wrath of God. Don't ask me questions, better start asking God. Because you ain't mad at me, you really mad at God. And I used to rap for the devil, now I rap for God. You scared of persecution, yeah, I understand. What happens when you do not God in front of man? Y'all run around.
Well, first of all, there's no bass in the studio, so that was much more anticlimactic than when I listened to it and actually with bass on in my car. And it's such a full sound. All right, so we got to get into this because, you know, we look at this and already what you're rapping, I mean, it shouldn't be controversial because what I think is interesting is, you know, people talk a lot about sex in rap music. And there's a lot about, you know, being promiscuous, doing what you want. But you're talking about like celibacy, not giving yourself over to your sexual lust, urges. You even talk about what you like, I guess you're defining biblically as unnatural sex, like homosexuality and things. I mean, look, man, there's no better way I know to be unpopular than to talk about these things as a rap artist in the world. There's no better way to be poor. Why would you choose as a talented rap artist, and I mean this genuinely, when you could have the whole world and rap about what the world says, why do you choose to rap about this kind of stuff?
Because somebody got to do it. And that's one of my taglines, obviously, but I really mean it. I mean, when I didn't even know who artists like Lecrae was earlier this year, but my girlfriend was letting me hear some of his music, and then I watched some of his interviews, and he was just literally running around the LGBT question. Then you go to Kirk Franklin, T.D. Jakes, Joe Osteen, all the popular people that's supposed to be people of Christ, representing Christ, and they're denying God before man. And then now you got homosexuals talking about they go to church with their partners who they refer to them as their husbands, and I'm like, you do what? You do who? That's not biblical. Matter of fact, it's against the word of God, and I'm not adding to the word. Even if you bring up the Bible scriptures I said in that song, you can easily see I didn't add nor take away from the word. I'm simply repeating Bible verses in a clever way and putting it in rap. And things like that get banned off of YouTube, banned off of TikTok, banned off of all these things for hate speech. But you can talk about the opposite. You can talk about sex. You can talk about sex before marriage all day long. You can talk about killing people all day long. pulling up on your ops, pull up on their block with the Glock. You know what I'm saying? That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, coke. You can talk about drugs, coke.
Oh, yeah.
You can talk about rape even.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty wild. And like, this is what I think is where you know people are opposed to God. This is kind of where I think it's interesting is I could bring any guest on that talks about any of those other things, which I do. I always tell people, this is not an actual conservative show. This is a news show, talks about culture. A lot of the guests are conservative. I'm right wing. Some of my guests are not conservative. Some of them are insane. But I will say, like, if somebody sits here and you're offended by you talking about homosexuality on the right wing, right, being like, this guy's full of hate, but you also aren't, like, somehow offended by all the other music online, it makes me wonder, like, do you believe, do we have a quote, real fast? I want to bring this quote up. I think we have Madison Cawthorn. He's a new congressman just elected. I hope we have it on the screen. He said this, I really want the Republican Party to be bolder. I want us to be a big tent party that says, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care what your religion is. As long as you believe in freedom and believing in our founding principles, you're welcome in our party. You're laughing. Your view of mainstream conservatism is very different than one of the leaders of now mainstream conservatism. Yeah. Why are you taking a different approach, and how is your approach different?
Though I like him, I met him, he's pretty cool. But the truth of the matter is, they're lying. They don't want a big tent. Because if they wanted a big tent, why is Nick Fuentes banned from events? They don't want a big tent. That's a lie they make up just to force everybody else to accept things like drag queens and transgenders in a conservative movement. The problem is, the Republican Party is one thing. When you start allowing these people to call themselves conservative, that's when a line has to be set somewhere. Conservative has a definition. It's to conserve. You can be politically conservative and socially liberal. A lot of times you will be called a libertarian. But if you're going to call yourself a straight-out conservative, social conservatism is one of the most important things right now because that's a direct correlation with culture. So when you say, I don't care if you're gay, whatever, all this and all that, you know, you don't care about your religion. What if my religion is against that, though? Because I can tell you something right now. If people, like, I'm hearing rumors about a Patriot Party. If y'all are aligning with drag queens and y'all want to be inclusive, next we're going to have safe spaces, and next we're going to have a trans Republican running for president. Oh, golly. I'm not with it. I'm out. I don't want to be involved with that. Because the truth of the matter is, the right is where the left were 10 years ago. Because if everybody remember, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Obama, they were all against same-sex marriage. Not that long ago. But the thing is, they said, we need them votes. So they started pandering. I'm watching the right do the same thing. Same thing, but worse. The reason why it's worse is because the right claim to represent themselves as the side for Christ, for family
morality. Morality in general, right? Morality. Even if they're agnostic people who care about order and natural order.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if we're leaving that, there's no difference between the right and the left at that point. What is the difference? Because, like I said, I'm a Christian, okay? So what do I pit above politics? My faith in God. So if you think I'm about to align with degeneracy for the sake of having a big tent, no. I think that big tent thing, like I said, is not even true.
Let me ask you this then. You brought up Nick Fuentes.
Yes.
Who's he runs a podcast called America First, which is a popular slogan that, you know, Pat Buchanan used, Trump used. This is a common movement. I use it. But it's a podcast name. And then you brought up this idea of pushing drag queens and stuff, which is something that you might see commonly in Turning Point USA. Now, one thing interesting about you that I find, and I like to call this black privilege, because it really is true. It truly is. The ability to do things that white people can't do in public, which is, you say that you support, you know, Nick Fuentes in this, and, you know, you're not against him, I guess your tweets would say. Like, you're not going to exclude him from the conversation. But I also saw you at Turning Point as well. You're doing a concert. You're hanging out with the kids. How do you align your views in conservatism while being both associated with Turning Point and America First podcast movement at the same time?
It's simple. Me and Nick Fuentes hung out in real life. We know what we disagree on. We disagree on the topic of race completely. It's common sense. But if you think you have to agree with somebody on everything, then you're a disingenuous person because that's not reality. And then with Turning Point, lately they've been going a little too far to the left for me. I'm not going to lie to you.
What's your view on Rob Smith?
He makes being gay his entire identity, which is true. What he called himself? I'm America's favorite black gay veteran Republican. And that's the truth. And he's one of the people that try to take me down and talk about me all the time, too. But, I mean, most of them the same. People like Amir are pretty cool, if you know who Amir is.
He's a real intellectual young black dude.
Yeah. He doesn't make being a homosexual his entire identity, which is cool, unlike people like, you know, Rob and Brokeback Patriot. And what's funny is I defended Rob before at a Turning Point USA event. I defended his right to be politically conservative. And I still stand by that. You can be gay and be politically conservative. How can you not be gay and support lower taxes and stuff like that? It doesn't make sense. But then
because gay couples are often wealthier in LA. It's like, how are you not going to try to save your money? Your sex doesn't mean you want to be poor.
Exactly. But then he started to talk about him being a Christian. Then that's where you lose me. I'm a realist. I'm not an optimist. I'm not here to be nice. I'm here to spread the word of God. I'm here to be honest, and I'm here to be open about my beliefs in hopes that other people will be willing to do the same. And I still don't hate Rob, even though the things that goes on behind the scenes. I don't hate him. I don't hate any of these people. What I am is I am disappointed in not them. I'm disappointed in the Christians, that people that claim to be Christians on the right that justify what they do. Because no disrespect to them, they're living in sin, they're addicted to their sin. That's obvious, they're not gonna change it, period. But the people that claim to be Christian conservatives fighting for family values that are pushing that, knowing that kids, I went to an event and old boy, Lady MAGA, was wearing drag in front of children at a conservative event. What? And then listen, I like TPUSA because I like how they got the pulse on the younger generation, right? I think they did a good job at marketing to the younger generation.
Super effective at getting young people hyped
to
get into politics, which usually young people are not hyped about at all.
Correct.
Zero.
So nobody can take that away from them. I remember I was debating with Nick Fuentes about that. I said, you can't deny that. I mean, listen, there's a difference. If you don't like somebody, that's cool. But don't deny the facts. you know what I'm saying? But even at the event, you know what I'm saying, when you see half-naked women shooting money out into the crowd, I'm sitting here thinking like, I'm wondering how many young women are looking at this thinking, so this is what I have to do to get popular in politics. Is this what I have to do here?
Bang energy.
Yeah. You know,
it's like, what?
Yeah, you know, no cash. Yeah, you know, yeah. Half nigga women.
Oh, man.
And like, here's what my thing is at a certain point, you have to ask yourself, what are you conserving? But even with the America First movement, with Nick Fuentes, I think they hyper focus on race so much that it pretty much kills their point sometimes. Because hyper focus on race to the point where it's almost like,
it's like too small of a tent versus too big of a tent. You're like going, you're too big of a tent where you don't have any walls anymore and your tent's collapsing. Too small of a tent where it's like people are like, there's some basic things that I think fundamentally humans probably agree on that are not incompatible with conservatism, like the race. Even though I know understand that there's some values based on those things. Like, I mean, there's truth on the fact that there's often some different factors and problems with interracial couples that people see. So they point out some facts, right? Or the fact that people tend to marry in their race. But, you know, some of the comments, I think disparaging comments made on those things and the differences can become like, take it too far. Just like I see what you're saying though, is like, just like you disagree with them because they take something that you could make good arguments for and take it too far to the point where you disagree. And then on same with Turning Points, like you understand being a bit of a big tent where you're not gonna discriminate on people coming in, but where you start pushing, you know, homosexuality as a part of the Christian religion and stuff, it starts to get convoluted to where you can't even support that. And I would say that a lot of right-wing people in general are feeling what you're describing, which is like they look at the more liberalized right wing and it's just kind of like, there's nothing to really stand on. But then they also look at the, you know, Puritan conservative and they go, same thing, like I can't get involved in that. So like what do those people, that's the greater swath. What do we do moving forward? You said everyone asks you, what do we do moving forward? Where do we go, the greater swath of the right wing conservative movement?
The answer is, I don't know, because if you have noticed, I think me and you talked about, I don't know if I told you everything that happens behind the scenes.
No, I want to hear.
But
I like this.
These
stuff.
People have literally said, they come together and says, we're going to take Bryson down. I'm not making this up. This is our real words. They said.
Is it your views mostly on homosexuality, or is it your Christianity, or
it's,
both?
It's basically all of it. It was like Christianity and mainly the LGBT Trump supporters. They really hate me.
I mean, they're authentic. I mean,
yeah.
Do you hate them?
No, I don't hate them. I think they're annoying, and they make me realize why some people could possibly be homophobic, because it's like, they act like this.
I know a lot of these people, too, a lot of my friends. But I know what you're talking about, the difference between someone who throws, even if they're straight. You know when people are even heterosexual? It's like Cardi B. It's like, you're heterosexual, but you're throwing your sex in my face, and it puts me off, too.
But what's funny to me is people act like Bryson only calls out the LGBT community. Do y'all not see some of these MAGA rappers that hate me? Do y'all not see other people like my Tagga that hates me? Do y'all not see people like the Christian hip-hop scene? They all hate me. Listen, even if you listen to False Teachers, I didn't only talk about LGBT and that. I talked about a lot of things that I see consistently going on. And the LGBT community is a part of that. But the LGBT community, they seem to have the most power and can be the most effective in trying to do something. Like, you want to know the truth? The real reason a lot of people didn't see me perform at a Trump rally is probably because the Republican pride people. A lot of them hate me, and they send messages up to purposely get the Trump campaign to stop working with me. And these are people in high places. I promised somebody I wouldn't say the name, so I'm not going to say the name.
Hey, I've been disinvited from things. I've been formally invited to speak at things. And then, ironically, I get criticisms for being either too based or not based enough. Yeah. But apparently, there's a really low threshold for how based you can be to actually speak at these events. Yeah. You basically can't be genuine about pretty much anything that's helpful to speak there.
So the problem is, what people don't realize is all you're doing is pushing a large part of the conservative movement farther right. That's all you're doing. Because I'm viewed as far right now, and me, when people call me names, I just embrace it. Homophobic, transphobic, far right, right wing nut, I'm your favorite white supremacist. Come on, you see me. And
in these bright lights, you're looking a little Michael Jackson.
But I mean, it's like we have to stand on something as a party. And if all you care about is a big tent, then you're gonna end up like the left. And now you have a bunch of far right people out here angry with no place to feel like they have nowhere to belong, because like I said, once again, people talking about that Patriot Party thing. To me, honestly, at this point, culture is so disgusting now, and it's getting worse every year. I'm not aligning myself with anything now unless God is the center of it, period. Because just look at the culture, what's going on. I don't care if you're atheist or anything. Look at this. Cardi B don't even want her own child listening to her music. Her own child. So if you want me to align with people like that, and there's a lot of people on the right who be supporting, like, who be like, don't sex shame, don't fat shame on the right. I'm like, or y'all could just shut up and mind your own business. But I mean, you know, that's just my view on it. But a lot of people is crazy, and outside of a few people, I'm probably the reason a lot of people hate me because I'm not bowing down in any way, shape, or form. You can try to cancel me. Tell the Trump campaign to stop working with me. I was supporting Trump before I got popular. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So me supporting Trump has nothing to do with...
Yeah, why do you have to be gay and black to get the support of Trump? Why can't you just be black?
Bro, if I made a song supporting gay people, ooh-wee, platinum single I'm talking about, I might make me a couple $100K.
Show your butt cheeks at the end.
Oh, yeah, just toss in just something slightly gay in it. I guarantee you, it'd be so lit. They're like, oh, my God, Bryson is so inclusive.
We'll call this episode Slightly Gay so you can get in. You can get in, man. I'll help you out. Slightly gay-fensive.
I'll tell you. Somebody hit me up and was like, they wanted me on a song. I said, let me hear the song. But it was like, I don't care if you're gay or straight. It was something like a song was like, it was important to
Madison Cawthorn.
You know, vibe, you know. It was a cool song, but I was like, I'm not hopping on that because I don't agree with the song. Oh, man, I understand, though, bro.
No, I'm with you. And I kind of want to bring this to this. So, you know, people that I like, a lot of people are probably pissed off at you. And I have to always ask people, you know, if you're mad, like, you know, and I'll say this, too, to the same snowflake people that disagree with homosexuality. Like, they get mad, like, you brought a gay black person on your show. It's like, yeah, I brought them, I've had before, and I've to talk to them about things that wasn't about promoting homosexuality. Like, we didn't come here to talk about your sexuality in particular. Like, I don't talk to people about who they have sex with. I just talk to them about ideas and what's on their heart and what's going on. And I think it's funny that people get offended on both sides, but I go, what kind of absolute, I can't say the word, but it starts with a P and it rhymes with wussies, do you have to be to literally get offended on a show by people just sharing their own personal views on the world if you disagree with them? And people always, I love the announcer people, like, well, I'm leaving. And it's like, thank you. Nobody asked you to announce your exit. If you want to unsubscribe, feel free. But also, guys, reminding you, please subscribe to the channel. Don't unsubscribe. And keep up the content. Also, remember that you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You guys, it's a free way to support the show. You can click the link below. Just go there right now. If you make it this far in the episode, you are a loyal SOB. It's not a bad word. It's a slightly offensive backer. But you probably are on the other SOB too if you watch the show regularly. We really appreciate it. Or also subscribe on Spotify. But remember, guys, all of our trips are funded, like even here in Washington, D.C., because you guys are Blaze TV subscribers. You get all of our content ad-free, censorship-free, as well as with, you know, you get Crowder, you get Beck, you get Levin, you get Lauren Chen, you get a lot of, I mean, we have like 20 people. It's awesome. Anyway, check it out. Go to blazetv.com/Elijah to get $10 off a year subscription. But also, if you guys want to find more of what's going on with Bryson, he has rap music. He has, it's, I'm not even rap music, but I like your music, by the way.
Thank you.
Because I think maybe I don't like rap music because of the content. It sounds good. It's like it's catchy, but like it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
So let's tell people who they want to look you up. They want to find you. How do they find you?
Listen. So, of course, conservatives get shadow banned, and I have the number, but I have to look it up because I don't remember it. But
I think I have it here. No, I have it here.
You have it here. So I'm getting all conservatives getting shadow banned.
It's on the screen as you're speaking.
And the way I do everything is, why are we always complaining and not doing nothing? So me, I like finding ways to not complain and to take action. So me taking action was to do like the politicians do, where you text a number, you opt in to receive updates from the politician. So I did that, except for I'm not going to be as annoying as everybody else. I'm only going to text you like a week before the album drop and when the album drop. And I'm at 2,000 people right now that I've been in to receive updates about my album releases. And my goal is 5,000 before my album drops. And my album is going to drop in February. And it's going to be a double album, actually. So,
Dude, I'm excited. And also, you can get your YouTube as well.
Yes,
they can find your music under Bryson.
Bryson Gray.
Bryson Gray.
If you type in my real name, Bryson Gray. Gray with an A, please. I don't know why everybody picks an E. It is Bryson Gray with an A, please.
And you're also fun to watch on Twitter, arguing with other people and just get into heated conversations.
Always.
It's very entertaining. That's the black privilege I was talking about, is the fact that, like, you can say things without having to take a side. Like, if you're white and you say something, you get put into a category. Mm-hmm. But if you're black and you're conservative, they don't know what to do with you because they're like, well, we're supposed to be taking every person. They try not to.
I don't know. They said that. They saw Lady Maga said, I hope you had a good Kwanzaa since you remind me of
I was talking about people with power or like authority or like influence. Not
I'm,
like,
I'm an African dictator to a lot of these people.
I was talking about people like that actually that matter.
People hate me too. Woo.
Well, yeah, but you know, I don't hate you. We love you, Bryson. Honestly, I love the unabashed, open, unfiltered part of you. Please don't lose that.
No, sir.
I really appreciate you coming on this show too and taking time out of your day. Just so you guys know, he travels with a posse. That's the blackest thing anyone's ever done on this show.
We bet. That's,
we lay dog. I'm going to travel with a posse, too. I'm going to change my name to something cool, too. But anyway, check his work out. Thank you guys so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, which is pretending to have a budget since we're actually in a different studio today. Thank you guys so much for watching. Have a great rest of the week. Please stay safe and stay tuned for our episode on Friday at 2 p.m. that covers all the events that happened today and this week in Washington, D.C. I'm signing out.